Good morning. Coming out of Citizen Way, love has won, and it has. I was just trying to remember the love verses I memorized from 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and I'm kind of, that like around verse 7, I'm kind of needing to review, let's just put it that way, but love has won. God is love, 1 John 4, 9 and 16, and as we get Jason Cans here in on the mix, I don't know, is it fair to say love is interchangeable with that Hebrew word chesed that you educated us on? Is that they're pretty equal, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the idea of chesed is love, but beyond that, steadfast love. You know, that it's unfailing, which I suppose, if we really think about love, is it's something that that stays put, right? I mean, it's something that doesn't change under circumstance. It's something that's solid and whole and sure.
Mm-hmm. About a week ago, I mentioned Steve Brown, and I said I was reading a book aloud with my wife when we traveled to and from Minnesota for a Teamwork Africa stop at a church. And a slogan he's got, I've been listening some to his podcast, radio broadcast, he's got, and it's kind of the theme is, God isn't mad at you. Mm. That's kind of interesting, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think that, and again, I think he's one of those folks who there's just so much truth in behind what he talks about. He's kind of a big, big grace uh-huh. kind of guy, and I really appreciate that about him.
But then he thought, hey, I'm just going to talk openly about God's grace, and people are just going to love me. And he's like, wow, you'd be surprised. You know, you get people
right.
angry. So, all right, well, I yep. sent you a couple of messages this week, and one of them, thanks to Kathy Benson, she posted this. Chad Moore is a pastor in Arizona, Sun Valley Community Church, and he has got up on the screen John 13, 34, and 35. We've talked about it a lot, right? I mean, you
yeah.
wrote about it in Notes from the Upper Room. And
yep.
Francis Schaeffer called it the mark of the Christian. Love one another as I have loved you. This is how the world will know you're my disciples. So he picks it up from there. Let's listen to what he had to say, and then we'll get to your comments.
How has Jesus loved you? He loves me when I'm completely unlovable. And he just loves me anyway. You know how Jesus has loved me? Jesus loves me not because I'm good, but because he's good. Jesus loves me not because I have great character, but because he has great character. Jesus loves me, everybody look at me now, even when he disagrees with me. When I am totally, utterly wrong. When I couldn't be any more wrong, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. When I am totally wrong on the issue, Jesus loves me more than he cares about the issue. When I am full of sin and wickedness, Jesus loves me. Romans 5, 8, God proved his love for me in this. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me.
So, pretty strong message there, huh?
Yeah, you know, listening to that, a couple of things stood out to me. You know, I have really in my life many times and still act in unlovable ways. And yet there's a deeper core, I think, within me, you know, as God's image bearer. And, you know, that in and of itself is God reacts to that, right? I mean, God says, this is my child whom I have created. The other thing that really stood out to me is well-known theologian Karl Barth, who wrote this mm-hmm. 11-volume Dogmatics, huge set of theology, was once asked to summarize the Bible, and he said, mm-hmm. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Yeah.
And so to hear that in there, I think that was spot on. So.
Yeah, and I think the point is, it's receiving it in that way, you know,
yeah.
and again, saying, I say Romans 5, 8 on the air just about every day right before 6 o'clock, packaged in with Brandon Manning, so that's a big part of the early part of the WIB Wake Up Show and our time, and it's as you believe that and embrace that,
yeah.
then we're empowered to love like that.
Right. Absolutely, and I think that's, for me, many times it's been hard to get a hold of,
mm-hmm.
You know, to really step into that or rest into that
yeah.
Reality that God loves me at my worst.
Right. And so, exactly. That is, when I think about our spiritual work, that's why the verses I share, you know, Dave, 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us, the Romans 5:8 that Pastor Chad Moore just shared. I mean, that is a huge part of the continual receiving work that we're, you know, preparing our soil to believe that, you know, that's the deal. And Lloyd Ogilvie, his TV show was called Let God Love You. That's, you know, so... All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff.
Very good stuff. All right. Well, we love you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Sounds good.
All right. Jason Kantz here, WWIB. And tomorrow we will get to his next author that he's read a lot of, following Tim Keller. We'll find out who that is.
A year ago in March, apparently we were buying a lot more than just hand sanitizer and toilet paper. There was also a shortage of frozen pizzas.
You got to eat.
Americans, and again, this comes from a year ago, Americans bought approximately $275 million worth of frozen pizza since the start of the coronavirus in March, or when we really became aware of it. That was an increase of 92% compared to the same time last year. So again, you look into the psyche of the public, and it's got to get the hand sanitizer, got to get the TP, and got to get the frozen pizza.
Wow, that's a huge increase. So people were not just ordering out, okay?
No. So lots and lots of frozen pizzas. I'm curious how many got eaten, how many are still in the freezer. I have to say, if you get a Brewpub frozen pizza, shout out to our friend Matt Selvig, that does not last long in my household, because that's the best kind. Yeah. But here's what's interesting about this. I'm curious how much Wisconsin contributed to this massive, massive increase in frozen pizza consumption, because a couple of years ago, it was revealed that our Badger State eats the most frozen pizza per capita in the entire union. When the story came out, food giant Nestle said, yeah, you know why Wisconsin consumes more frozen pizza per capita? Because there's a lot of Norwegians there. That's what they found. Nestle said Norwegians equal frozen pizza consumption. They said the country that eats the most frozen pizza in the world is Norway, and they said a lot of Norwegians in Wisconsin, that's why they eat a lot of frozen pizza. I have no idea about the truth of that, but that's what they found, and have evidently put in a lot of research dollars to figure out that Norwegians love frozen pizza.
So not just lutefisk and lefse and sunbockles, but pizza.
I guess so. Wow. I don't know. I don't have any Norwegian blood, but I sure love me a good frozen pizza.
Exactly. People might have guessed Italian. They'd be wrong. So.
Yeah. Hmm.
There you go.
Fun
All right.
factoid for you.
Maybe consider that for dinner tonight. Well, today is Earth Day. It's the anniversary of the birth of the environmental movement. Earth Day looking to inspire new ideas and bring folks to action despite the pandemic. The theme for this year's holiday, Restore Our Earth. Organizers say they want to focus on communities that have been disproportionately affected by the pandemic and climate change. Events around the world meant to educate the public with new ways to live sustainably, for instance, recycling, reducing household energy use, and saving water.
Again, all some good things. Uh-huh. I know there's some Earth Day cleanups around in various communities as well, and thankfully we have a beautiful day for it. Maybe you want to get out and about and volunteer a little bit. I you know, even notice, again, simple things, just like trash blowing across the highway, and when all the snow melts, you're like, oh man, that could use some cleaning. And for folks who say, you know what, I want to help. I want to make sure that the community that I live in is beautified and be a good steward of the resources that God has given us. So very cool. I found a little factoid here about the man who coined the term Earth Day. Julian Koenig was his name. He was a copywriter, so again, wrote ads, who also helped, ironically, create the Think Small campaign for Volkswagen. Koenig said he was inspired because birthday rhymes with birthday, and his birthday is April 22nd. So I guess that's all the inspiration it took. He would have turned 100 today.
That reminds me, I think it was Lamar Hunt, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. How did they come up with Super Bowl? And it was because of the like a Super Ball or something like that. You know, and so just the funny stories behind how things get
you
a name.
You never know where inspiration will strike. So it's like, it's my birthday. Let's call it Earth Day. And a lot of good being done.
Kanye West ran for president. He called it the birthday party because if he was president, he said it'd be like everybody's birthday. So didn't work so great.
Kanye.
But anyhow, and I think it's kind of cool, too, that the founder of it, Gaylord Nelson, he was Wisconsin governor, later a senator from the great Badger State. So
some Wisconsin ties there. Very cool.
Absolutely. All right. I think a Bible verse that comes to mind for me on Earth Day is, I think it's Psalm 24:1. The idea, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, and the clouds are the dust of my feet. So I could be wrong on that actual address. Oh, yeah.
And
of
the
that.
Earth is the Lord's and the right. fullness therein. So again, it's his. He's given it to right. us to steward, and great to take that responsibility seriously and say, let's make it, something worthwhile.
We're cleaning up God's footstool, you know? Well, our buddy Jason Cans has something on Facebook this morning I think worth sharing. It's getting into the 8 o'clock hour. He writes, may the love of Christ fill you. May the peace of Christ envelop you. May the grace of Christ uphold you. May hope in Christ move you. May the aroma of Christ surround you and make the world a better place because you are in it.
Surveys, surveys, surveys. The survey says that there are simple things that can make someone's day. Maybe it's yours. Maybe it's someone else's. A recent inquiry with 2,000 different Americans found a list of 50, we won't go through all of them, but 50 simple pleasures in life. And a lot of these, I'm like, yeah, that can really make your day, or at least your morning or afternoon, whenever you experience it. So some of these top 50 simple pleasures in life, simple things like being in the countryside or seeing a butterfly, great moments.
Yeah, a nice dinner or watching your favorite movie.
How about wearing a new pair of socks for the first time? And I know that might be like, what? No, for real. For real. I have not realized until my later years here just how much joy a fresh pair of socks can bring. It's awesome.
Reading itself. I love to read aloud to my wife in bed, however much energy we've got until one of us nods off. Or even finishing a book is quite an accomplishment. How about doing exercise?
Simple pleasures in life from a recent survey of 2,000 Americans. The smell of toast in the morning. I do enjoy toast.
Spotting a species of bird you've never seen before. Maybe seeing flowers and trees blossom.
Another one in this list of simple pleasures. I love this one. Putting your out of office on your email as you head off on a vacation. That's just fantastic. It's like, I'm not going to be here.
There
love
you
it.
Go. How about stunning views? And I tell you, sometimes the way I take those in is somebody else is on a trip. I've got some friends who are out west with some of their some folks, and it's just like I'm enjoying the views they've been providing.
Yeah. So. Again, simple pleasures from this survey of 2,000 Americans. Here's one of the simplest that you can enjoy many days of the year. Feeling the sun on your face. And I have to say, it's just so simple. But sunshine, and we have a skylight in our main living room. And I have to say, if I can sit in my chair, if I go home for lunch and sit in my chair, maybe nap in my chair a little bit in a sunbeam, it's great. It's just the best.
I'm going to break out a little John Denver here, actually.
Yes.
Sunshine on my shoulder. And finally, as we wrap it up, what would you say a simple pleasure here that we enjoy here on The Morning Show?
From this survey of 2,000 Americans, the top simple pleasure in life, hearing your favorite music.
Aha.
I think we can oblige that.
There you go.
We're trying to help.
Right here on WWIB. All right, so I got a message from my wife this morning that one of my driving older children locked their keys in their car. And apparently there is not a backup. So that's a problem. You know, sometimes you have problems that arise, you go, wow, that should have been dealt with earlier. So now having to deal with that this morning, and we're contacting Papa Lock. So anyhow,
it reminded me of one of my first experiences locking keys in the car, and just that feeling of dread, especially when it's a vehicle that's not your own. So this goes way back to Caleb's high school days. Junior year of high school, I'd worked very, very hard at Menards all summer long so that I could earn enough to buy my very first vehicle, which was a 1996 dark green Dodge Intrepid. And my grandpa sold vehicles his whole life pretty much over in Harlan, Iowa. And so he found me a deal.
Nice.
And so we were driving. My older brother agreed to drive me to meet my grandparents. I think we were going down to Clear Lake, Iowa. We're going to meet halfway in between, do the deal there on the road. My grandpa graciously agreed to bring the vehicle there. And what was kind of cool is my brother also had a dark green Dodge Intrepid. So we were going to have matching vehicles. I don't know that he thought it was that cool, but I'm like, man, my big brother has one. Yeah. I have one. This is cool.
Yeah.
Well, we went to Walmart and in Clear Lake, and my grandparents there check out the car. It's very cool. But we were going into Walmart. I think they had a McDonald's in there, and grandpa and grandma were like, hey, we'll get you something to eat. This is maybe the difference between my older brother's personality and mine. I get out of his vehicle, and I'm thinking, this is a strange city. It's a bigger city than Little Rice Lake. You never know what might happen. We have, you know, items, cell phones, things like that. In the vehicle. So I lock the door as we go out. My older brother has more of a laissez-faire attitude toward life in general, which is probably better than mine. But we're going in, and I think he didn't realize until we came back out after the meal. He said, why is the car locked? And I said, because we're in a strange city. He said, my keys are still in there.
Ooh.
This was one of those moments where my older brother was not terribly pleased.
Ouch.
With me being his blood relation. And so we are in a parking lot. We are several hundred miles away from home. And I have my vehicle, but he suddenly does not have his or the use of his anymore.
Yeah.
And so we are trying to figure out how to get it open. We actually go inside to Walmart and say, y'all have any metal hangers that we could use to try and unlock this? And again, so many clothes are plastic hangers. But at some point somewhere, I think a kindly Walmart team member found us a metal hanger that we were able to twist open and then try and, again, stick it in between mm-hmm. the wheel and the housing and try and unlock the door. But we were having all kinds of trouble, just all kinds of trouble. It was taking forever. And then this guy happens by, sees what we're trying to do, and said, could you use a hand? At that point, we were just like,
yeah.
You bet. He had it open in maybe 2 minutes, maybe. And then we offered to pay him like $20 or something. He's like, no. He's like, I just wanted to help. And he left out. My grandpa was like, seems like he's done that before.
I guess.
But yeah, God sent a guardian angel in interesting gentleman who stopped by and opened the door for us. Whew. So,
and you are very grateful.
My relationship was restored to my brother,
right.
who again was kind of giving me that side eye for quite a while.
Yes, exactly.